percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Well, it's 2018 and we're into sci-fi. Really, some of the stuff that's coming out now that it would have been perfect in sci-fi and probably is somewhere in the sci-fi stuff. The second, alien megastructure, Tabby Star. They found that star, and they don't know, they still can't explain what it's doing, but there's more than one, which might indicate that there might be more than two, because it's a sequence. It's on. All right, now the other thing we have, I was looking recently, saw a news clip, and it was a photo app. They're developing a photo app to detect mood. That's okay. What I like is a Samsung developing the brain-controlled TV, where they just put this little thing in your brain and you can turn the TV channel. Why? Why? Okay, you're supposed to basically detach from all that stuff. No, you're going to be plugged in, tuned in, and hyped out. Nuclear fusion reactor just set several world records. That's the sci-fi thing. We're into that. And then if you really want to get a buzz and see what miracles are, check out the video with the hang glider who cheats death. Absolutely phenomenal. Well, the first thing is, how do you trust an instructor from then on who forgets to strap you in? Okay, I'm teaching you how to hang glide. Whoops. First, strap in your partner. If you're going to take somebody for a ride, hello. And he says he's still going to go back. I think he got a broken wrist. He tore a muscle hanging on so tight. At one point, he thought he wasn't going to make it. And the instructor grabs his hand and kind of gives him a little support there. And after a few terrifying multi-life-death experiences, he drops. Says, thank you. All right. Anyway, that was a good one. That's the miracle of the month. My guest, this is kind of sci-fi. Oh, I guess I should say I'm reading Ingo Swann's. This is a new one put out by the family, Psychic Literacy and the Coming Psychic Renaissance. This is important. I think we're expanding some of our abilities, telepathy, ESP, that kind of stuff. I think that stuff is changing, and I think the technology is also giving an assist. And infrared photography is one of those things I think that might bring a little bit more to the equation. My guest has a really fascinating book with a lot of the pictures. It's Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, Breakthrough Ghost Photography. This is pretty fascinating if you take a look and see what these pictures are. He also has a blog. You can check out some of the photos there. But Tim Skolayan. And Tim, did I pronounce the name Skolayan right?
You did well. Thank you.
I get an A+. Okay, well, let's keep that one and then repeat it. John will record it, and every time I address you, you'll hear the recording of me saying it correctly. I'm just going to call you Tim. Okay, Tim.
That's fine.
Hey, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, because this brings a different element into play. The first thing, you're going to take a lot of flack from people once they see these photos, and it's all sorts of Photoshop, you know, that will come at you, and then the lens flare. So let's just, in a minute, get around to that. But first, the background, because you're kind of a jack of all trades.
Yes, and I started this quite by accident, because I was a skeptic myself. I was giving historical tours of Colonial Williamsburg, and the company that I worked for asked me, would you like to give ghost tours? And I said, sure, it's an extra source of income. Why not? So they handed me a script. I memorized the script. I passed the test, and I started taking people out on ghost tours. And again, I was a skeptic. I had never had any type of a paranormal experience before in my life. And when I started seeing people, and this is, by the way, back in 2011, I started seeing people getting paranormal stuff on their cell phones. And I'm not talking about just orbs, because I wouldn't have been that impressed with orbs, but I'm talking about, in some cases, full-figured apparitions. And some of them were kind of a misty white, and others appeared quite clear. And I thought, well, if they could get that on a cell phone camera, which, by the way, in 2011 was not that good, then what could I get if I took my professional equipment down into Colonial Williamsburg and tried to go to these very same places that I'd seen people get photographs on a cell phone? Could I get something that was much better? And so that began my odyssey of trying to get ghost photos. The first time out, it was a miserable failure. I got absolutely nothing. I was a bit discouraged. And about 6.5 weeks later, I tried again, and that time I got something, and I've been hooked ever since.
Okay, so basically what this is, there's book one and book two. So you, in book two, which is the one I got to preview, you're showing images of different areas and different types of images. You also refer, hey, go back to book one. This is where I explained it. But book two, what's the upgrade? Just more photos and a revisit of these areas to see if you could get better, you know, have a better understanding of what's there? Because there are different pieces of the equation in both books.
Yep. Well, you have to understand that in Colonial Williamsburg, that is the world's largest living history museum. And it has over 350 places that have been reconstructed, and it has 88 original buildings that were constructed back in the 18th century. So not only is there a wealth of information and a wealth of places to visit, but it was an extension of that I just couldn't cover it all in one book. The book would have been too thick, and it would have been cost prohibitive. So I decided to divide it up into two different segments. And the second segment, I must say, I've gotten better at what I've been doing. And so I've gotten better photos. Some of the photos are much more accurate. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is the fact that I, by chance, was able to capture a whole ghost militia in front of the Williamsburg Magazine, which is back in the 18th century, it was a storehouse for all the military equipment that was used by the Virginia militia. And I was absolutely stunned by the fact that I was able to get a whole ghost militia, perhaps more ghosts than anybody has ever gotten on a single photo before. And things like that, and the fact that I've gotten some, I would say, out of this world type of photos, things that look like, some people describe them as demons, some people describe them as gargoyles, aliens, whatever you want to call them. I don't specifically define them, but I can't deny the picture. The picture is accurately depicts whatever was there.
Yeah, one you're looking at, so, you say there's the dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dragon's another word too.
Okay, so, hang on, because what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, but I want you to describe, because there's you start out in the book with, and this is book number two, with two pictures at the beginning of the book, and you say, okay, here they are, contemplate that as you go through the book and through the sightings, and then you also include the stuff that's going on in your own home. And I did see that picture of the marching, the group, and it's like, that is really fascinating because they're around people. So there are a lot more things that come into play here as you get into your own personal experiences and the interpretations and the little anomalies that appear in these faces and these images that are quite unique. I haven't seen anything like it, so I can see why people are saying, well, Photoshop. Well, okay, so there are people who are more creative and don't have to worry about Photoshop. Some of this stuff is just, we're not quite understanding it yet. So my guest, again, coming back, is Tim Scollion, the book, a couple of them, Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, with Breakthrough Ghost Photography, first edition and second edition. All right. If you see this stuff, get on his blog. You can check that out, too. Tim, what's the blog real quick?
It's Tim Scollion at WordPress.com.
At WordPress. Okay. So there you go. There are some pictures to give you some samples. And I sent Tim a couple of my pictures, too, just for comparison to say, hey, look, I take this funky stuff. Not quite the faces, but we're going to get back to that. And just find out a little bit more about what's involved and how to take these pictures. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You can always check out, if you miss anything, I put the links on the blog, Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot, or just, Google. You'll find it. And the thing I wanted to get back into with Tim Skolayan, who's my guest and the author of a couple of books with some fantastic, unique, original, I don't think I've seen anything like this anywhere before, associated with ghost photography. Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, and Breakthrough Ghost Photography 1 and 2. Okay, so we're talking about the ghost militia. You were saying that this was an extraordinary opportunity for you. You got this. You were thrilled. What happened? How?
Well, first off, it was about 8 o'clock in a.m., and it was on an April night, and there was a group of Southern California middle school students that were standing outside of the Powder magazine. And if I can digress just for a second, what I saw, I've never been able to capture anything at that place before. I visited the Powder magazine 20 to 30 times and got absolutely nothing. But this particular night, I photographed overhead, and I got these huge collection of orbs that were between 20 and 30 of them. And so I decided to stay and see if I could get something while those kids were standing there, because I'd always heard that ghosts were attracted to children, but I'd never had any photographic proof of that. Well, I waited for the kids to go right before they went into the yard, because there were four Williamsburg militia reenactors that were there to give them part of a program where they were training them on how it would be to be in the Virginia militia, you know, with the different types of commands and what they would have to do. And so it was just probably a 45-minute program that they were going to participate in. So right before the kids went into the yard, I captured this ghost militia standing in formation up against the left-hand part of the Powder magazine wall. And a few seconds later, I captured, as the children had gone in, the ghost militia had gotten out of formation and they had surrounded the kids. And that just floored me that not only that there were so many ghosts there, but that they were all standing around those children, and unbeknownst to those kids, they were completely surrounded by ghosts. So it was a very profound moment, not only showing that ghosts are attracted to children, that they're attracted to human activity, but the fact that I was able to get this all on film just completely floored me.
Okay, Tim, I just want to interrupt here with a supposition, because your phone, we'll fix this in the edit, the phone is doing some funky things here, fading in and out. You're on a cell phone, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you've got ghosts in your house, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm guessing they're draining the energy because they're really thrilled, or they're just annoyed. Because there's a fluctuation here that you wouldn't believe on this end, where it has a little bit of a hollow sound. And I've had that experience when I've been in places that, you know, it just affects the battery. It affects the electronics, the whole nine yards. And I've been doing that for 20 years. So it's this is like, oh, good. Here you are. It's nice and haunted. Okay. So, yes, ghosts are really attracted to kids. And some children can see them more easily than others. And adults, you know, for the most part, are oblivious. Did you talk to any of these kids about that? Or just kind of was that the moment to capture the photo?
No, because I know that if I frightened any of those kids, that Bonnie Williamsburg would be ready to send me packing out of the area.
Eject you. Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so with that, though, there are some other photos that are similar that you have that that really do pick up the background, and they're around people, some of them overlaid, of those stories. Does it make a difference? Because you're comparing with the infrared versus a regular camera. What's the better way to do it?
Well, I've shot not only with visible light spectrum, but with full spectrum. And so I can't really say when I'm going into this whether it's just the infrared or whether it's the infrared coupled with the ultraviolet. So let me state that out first. But I was able to get the whole ghost militia. It was into the invisible parts of the light spectrum. That was with the full spectrum camera. However, I must also say that most of the photos that were done in the first book were just with a visible light spectrum. So I've gotten better results with full spectrum, but that's not to say that I can't get anything just with the visible end of the light spectrum.
Okay. So it's a nice thing to have both aspects to compare. And you do put some comparisons in the book so people have an idea of how much more energy is visible with that infrared.
Yes, that's correct.
When I was looking through and just, you know, trying to get an idea of what I liked, the stories that I really appreciated more, the history is also nice to have because you fill in the blanks with who might have, you know, who died, how they died, what might be the problem, and then there are the anomalies that we have no idea why this person's here. They shouldn't be here. I think most ghosts feel the same way, which is the problem. Have you had a medium work with you on these?
No, I haven't, but I was looking for answers myself because I'm not out there as a fear factor. I'm not out there looking for a scare. I'm absolutely fascinated with the fact that life continues after death. And so my aspect is not to put things out that scare people, but put things out to reaffirm the fact that when we die, that our electromagnetic consciousness is going to live on. And so that's what I'm out to prove. And when I put the historical aspects in there, I'm always looking for a connection to a real person. Those people that I photographed, they have a story. They were alive at one time, and I believe that they're showing up in my photographs because they want to let the living know that, they're there and that there is an afterlife. And so I kind of consider that my main goal.
Okay, so you have, in terms of doing all the tours and stuff, a whole lot of history. This is something, are you seeing more people interested in trying to figure out, you know, to copy you, to take what you have given and come up with their own photos?
Absolutely. I've had lots of people that have come to me. Some of them have offered money. Some of them have offered other things just to learn exactly how I do that. But one of the things that I discovered basically how to do this, and I want to get a little bit of credit before I start divulging everything that I do. But
yeah.
I will eventually write a complete tell-all of exactly everything that I do and the optimum circumstances where people can get photographs of ghosts and all the details, all the exterior conditions that are optimum for getting the very best ghost photos. But that's going to come just a little bit later on after I have several more books that are in the works right now that I'm still working on and finishing up.
Okay, again, my guest is Tim Scallion, Lion. See, that's my problem. I knew. I just needed to record it. Tim Scallion. There. Okay.
There you go.
All right. They'll remember it now because I've messed it up so much. If you want to spell it, Scullion. Just two, not skull and lion. Okay, there you go. Ghost photographer. How about that? Ghost photographer. This is the cool thing. Your book, and this is like 10,000-plus photos and over 2 years in the making, nominated by the Library of Virginia for consideration in the nonfiction category for the 20th Annual Library of Virginia Literary Awards. See, I had no problem saying any of that. But that's pretty fantastic.
Fun.
That's a great honor. But I do think that with this, there is one thing that's super curious, and I'm hoping that in hearing this, if you're listening, you'll pick up the book and at least, go to the blog, at least look at some of these photos, because the thing about it is the eyes. How does that happen? Some of these eyes look incredibly real, and I can see why they're saying Photoshop, because it's that the look that is intense directly at you, and that in the next break, I'd like you to what your own sense of this is, because there are some that you label a little bit ominous or sad or frightening. There are a couple images that defy, it's more like an alien type looking back at you. And there's a little girl in there whose image is just beautiful, really beautiful. So we're going to come back in just a few and talk with my guest, Tim Scallion. His book is really fascinating with all the ghost photographies. Book 1 and 2, Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This is, if you haven't seen this photography before, this is the most incredible, unusual, fascinating glimpse of a ghost that I've seen. And I think it's really amazing and curious that nobody has come up with this process before. And sometimes, in my experience, it's not really about what you're doing with the equipment. It's also what the person who's doing it, the photographer, brings to the equation. Some people are better at capturing these kinds of things, like the orb with an image inside it, or a particular type of orb. And there's always this thing of, oh, it's lens flare, oh, it's some kind of malfunction with the camera, there's, you know, a reflection. And yet, consistently, with the kind of imagery that the person takes, it will repeat itself. And it isn't, it's an anomaly. It's not explainable. Now, I don't have the science to back that up. I just have the experience of knowing that these things sometimes have a lot more to do with the person than they do with the technology or the technique. So with that, Tim says he's going to introduce later on the whole technique once he gets a few more books under his belt. But Tim Skolian is the author of this incredible book with all these unique photos, and I think it's definitely worth a look, The Haunted Historic Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia with Breakthrough Ghost Photography. Okay? Williamsburg, Virginia is a lot of history there, a lot of death because of the Civil War and all that. So I'm guessing the ghosts are just like our area, Weston, Missouri, has a lot of that history and just a lot of trauma. You think that adds more to the equation with your ghosts?
Absolutely. And not only is there, I think the Civil War probably has the greatest paranormal effect on Colonial Williamsburg, although they probably would not want to admit that because they're more about the Revolutionary War.
Really?
But the Revolutionary War did have an effect because of the final battle was in nearby Yorktown, and a lot of the wounded were brought back to Williamsburg where they were convalescing in several of the different buildings, and there's a few mass graves. For example, at the Governor's Palace, there is they found in the early 30s when they were building Colonial Williamsburg, there was 156 men buried in shallow graves from the Revolutionary War.
Mm.
So, again, lots of history, lots of death, history from the Revolutionary War, from the close to 4,000 casualties that were at the Civil War during the Battle of Williamsburg. And, again, in spite of all of those, there are people that lived and died there that didn't have anything to do with the war that are also haunting these places.
Okay, so the thing I found fascinating in these photos, the eyes, they are so almost like lifelike, and that is challenging. How do you explain that?
Well, I've heard the saying, the eyes are the windows of the soul, and that couldn't be more true for me because the eyes are usually the very first thing that I see. And not only that, but I've got to say that sometimes eyes are the only thing that I see in some of my photos. I remember when I was a little kid, and I'm sure you've watched the Charlie Brown features on Halloween, and you'd see all those eyes in the bushes and in behind things that were looking out at you. And I always wondered where that came from. And as soon as I started taking paranormal photography, I found out that sometimes eyes are the only things that are showing up. Sometimes I've seen perhaps 50 pairs of eyes in one window looking out. And usually the eyes are not only the first thing I see, but they're also the clearest thing I see. Sometimes other features are completely missing from the face, but the eyes are there for whatever reason.
Well, that's what I think is the most captivating, because it really, the first time if you're doing these yourself and you're looking at your digital camera and seeing something like that come back at you and knowing you were right there face to face within a few feet of this presence, it's a little disconcerting.
For me, it's not so much disconcerting as it's reaffirming that I'm succeeding at what I'm trying to do. I don't look at ghost hunting and the paranormal photography so much out of fear, but out of wonder and out of affirmation that there is an afterlife.
And I like that. It gives you some kind of a template to say, hey, look, if you can get this proof, then we've got a little bit more to bring to the table when they say, no, here, we want proof. Well, try this. And, you know, that's a down the road. But I want to also direct people to your ghost. It's a Ghostographer Tours of Williamsburg. And this is a Facebook page where there's an interview. This is CBS 6 Richmond, WTRV, is it WTVR? When you talk to these folks, are you facing a lot of skepticism?
I've got to say it varies, but the folks at WTVR, they carried my interviews for my first and my second book, and the Jessica Knoll, she was very nice and very supportive of the fact, and she made an astute observation that I'm kind of happy about, that the second book I've gotten much better photos and I'm improving on my craft. I'm able to get much more compelling photos that are absolutely difficult to explain, like the couple that you were just talking about a few minutes ago. And sometimes the ghost militia, number of ghosts in one photo. Sometimes, like I mentioned before, it's just the eyes. Other times I can get the bodies in there too. So, the amount of support that I get in different interviews varies, but for the most part, people have been fairly positive with the results that I've got. Have I gotten accusations of Photoshop? Absolutely. But I've got to say this, that I have a file of completely untouched photographs that I'm willing to submit to any photographic expert for them to look at, because they will determine that there has been no Photoshop, there has been no adjustment, that these things are absolutely as they were taken from the camera.
Well, and I think that's a testament that, you know, you're not afraid of having somebody look at your work. And plus, a lot of this stuff, you just have to go with your gut. And if you're getting something, you keep doing what you're doing. Focus. And I think that's what happened right now with the second book. You obviously have a better idea of what you're looking for, a better idea of how to narrow the framework and say, okay, this is how this should happen. This is what I've experienced in the past. That's the way with anything. With repetition, you develop a craft. And I think that's what you're approaching with this, is a craft.
And I'm happy that it's improving and that I'm getting better and better photos to show the public.
What I have on the webpage here is Ghostographer Haunted Tours featured ghost photos. And there's one on this page that Peyton Randolph house. It's really, this is from 2016, a question as to what this is. You have any clue?
Well, as far as the identification of the person, I do have a clue. Now, I've spoken before with some of the interpreters that have worked at the Peyton Randolph house. And what's interesting about that photo is that, first off, I was asked where I took it, and I told them the exact window that I got the photo out of. And he told me that that was the parlor window, and that during the 18th century, there was a man that came in to see Peyton Randolph, and he was very distraught. And during the period that he was waiting to see the man, this man pulled out a pistol and shot himself in the mouth, obviously committing suicide. And I didn't know this, but when I got this photo, and by the way, this photo was my very first human face, I was absolutely stunned about it, but I couldn't figure out why the lower part of the face wasn't there. And when I found out that there was a man that committed suicide by putting a pistol in his mouth, then that reaffirmed not only who the guy was, but why the bottom part of his face was missing.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to come back because there are a couple more pages here. and a couple more photos. This is for people who don't have the book yet, and they can at least get an idea of what we're talking about. My guest, again, is doing some fascinating stuff with photography in terms of taking ghosts and getting images that, forget lens flare, this is way beyond that. These are faces. These are they look like they're looking at you in some of them, and so it's definitely worth a look, and you can check that out at ghostographer.com. My guest, and again, is doing this after 10,000 photos or so, and at first being a skeptic, Tim Skolayan. We'll come back in just a few with more ghost photography on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities. Sometimes we don't learn anything about that until we accidentally stumble onto it. And it sounds like that's what happened with Tim Skolayan. And he started taking these photographs. And as he has said, he's heard from people who saw book one and two and say, you are onto something and you are improving. And looking at this photo, this is another one from that same 2016 group, the Peyton Randolph House. And this one is question mark, human, animal, demon. And it is a combination. When you look at it, it looks like there are cat ears at the top, possibly a cat nose transitioning into a human nose, and the bottom of the face still looks, has more of an animalistic look. Is there a backstory to that one?
Well, first off, what you need to know is that Peyton Randolph House is probably considered to be one of the most haunted houses in all of Virginia, perhaps all of the East Coast. And that's in a malevolent way. Some people said that the presence there is not only malevolent, but perhaps demonic. So I can't testify to whether that's true or not, but certainly the photo resembles something that's somewhere between an animal and a human. And that's something that was a first for me, too, because I wasn't expecting something like that. I was expecting human faces or perhaps the lens flares that were of different colors and different shapes that we talked about before. But this thing, it defies description. I can't really say what it is, but I can say that it probably has something to do with a malevolent presence that is in the Peyton Randolph House. Now, before I spoke about a suicide, there have been several suicides that have taken place at the house, as well as there is a rumor. I can't substantiate the rumor, but the fact was that the house, the area, was built on a Native American burial ground. So whether that has something to do with the animalistic appearance of the entity that I photographed or not, I can't say for sure. But I do know that there is something that's malevolent there that has, in some cases, attacked people, pushed them down the stairs. And it's a house that a lot of people are afraid to even go into. So it's something that's leaves a question mark in my mind as to what it is, but it's part of the fear factor for some people in visiting the Peyton Randolph House.
Now, there are some people who say that, you know, you use a mirror and you can get better photos, better images, and there's an incredible photo that people took at one of the homes in Weston where the room is empty. They're taking the photo to, you know, there's an antique bed and antique dresser set there, and they were just kind of getting the layout of the room and proud that it was all decorated and set up and done. And when they went back to look at the photo, there's an image in the photo of a couple, and they are dressed in period clothes, male and female, side by side. The room was empty, and here they are, plain as day. And that's a photo that that there's no disputing that. Those are the images. You have one like that on the blog I saw of a girl, a woman standing. This is somebody who sent a photo into you. That this is an image of a ghost. Somebody wasn't there when they took the photo, and that image is present. So it's very similar to what happened with this. You're using the window glass as a conduit.
Right. But in the case you're talking about, which is at the Peyton Randolph House, too, I might add, I think that the mirror is it's glass, too, so it's a conduit. And this was taken in the broad daylight. I went through the house at, I don't know if you remember, you mentioned before about the little girl whose photo I was able to capture
yes.
at the same house.
Oh, I didn't,
well,
okay.
At that at that house, I was going through the house because I was told that there was a painting of a little girl in the house that I had perhaps missed. And what I wanted to do was take a photo of the painting and compare it to the ghost photo that I had. Well, I went all the way through the house taking photos everywhere, and I didn't find the painting. And I was told that that wasn't there. So I thought that I had just wasted my time. But when I got home, I found that photograph in the mirror. And it was just in the very corner of the mirror that was actually visible. But there's a backstory to that photo, that there was a African-American slave that worked for the Randolphs. And she had escaped because the governor had issued an edict saying that if a slave would help the British Army during the Revolutionary War, that they would get their freedom papers. So she tried to go for her freedom. She was captured. She was whipped, and she was brought back to the house. And a lot of the people that work at the house think that she is the person, the angry ghost, that tries to shove people down the stairs. Mm. So I was absolutely floored when I captured this photo and saw not only her face looking back at me, but if you look very closely at the photo, you could see that hers is the dominant face in that photo, but around her there are probably 4 to 5 other faces of what may be African-American slaves that are gathered there with her. So that was a profound moment for me, too, capturing that in the broad daylight in one of Williamsburg's most haunted houses.
See, that's my sense, too, is a lot of these places, there are communities, and they sometimes are there willingly because they don't know where else to go. Other times, there will be a main spirit, an entity that kind of takes the leadership role and coerces or frightens or whatever it is to intimidate and create some kind of subjugation to keep everybody there. And this is a fascinating topic, a fascinating issue. I think you have a really good eye for what you're trying to get with these photos, and I'm looking forward to seeing this as you progress and continue to bring through this work. Also, as you give a few more details on the process, just saying, as you
sure.
know. But is there anything
they
you'd like
will
to...
be coming.
Yes, and that's what we're looking forward to. Is there anything else you want to say? We got about a minute and a half left.
No, it's just that I'm excited to continue this journey. So far, I've been doing this for about 7 years. I've taken, at this point, over 22,000 photographs, and I'm branching outside of Williamsburg. I've gone to Gettysburg. I've gone to the Outer Banks in North Carolina, to Charleston. I've gone out to places in Arizona. Actually, a few of those places, I've gone behind TV shows, paranormal TV shows, trying to get some photographic evidence to back some of their stories. And my odyssey continues.
Well, I think it's a great hobby and a great full-time job. Darn you. So keep it up. Keep it up. And if you're listening, the website, check this out, ghostographer.com. And you can get the whole nine yards. If you want to book a tour and go see ghosts, you've got some great testimonials on there. One little nine-year-old kid who's like, I want to go back, Dad. So starting young is helpful. Anyway, the book and all the details, everything there. Again, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing some of this information with us as well. But Tim Skullion, S-C-U-L-L-I-O-N. Got it? The first study of amazing photography, unique photography of ghosts. Thanks for listening. KCMO, Wendy's Coffee House. Check the website, wendyscoffeehouse.com. See ya. Stay curious.